Welcome back to another episode of Getting Intimate. So, y'all, we have another juicy interview series episode with empowerment and relationship coach, Lucy Price. Lucy helps people heal from heartbreak and toxic relationship patterns to reclaim and rise in their power so that they can have the relationship and life they crave. We are in for a treat and we're about to get real cozy with Lucy. Let's get intimate.
So, welcome, welcome. I'm so excited to have you here, Lucy. Oh my gosh, today we're going to talk about heartbreak, how to move through it, all the things. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you here and chat about this topic because it's like something that I don't really talk about on the podcast. And it's going to be so good to have your expertise here and just like, heartbreak is one of those things that can just feel so heavy and it can feel super isolating. And I'm really excited to just hear you speak about how to move through it because that shit can feel so hard sometimes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Heartbreak is one of those things that it's the wounding you can't see, right? And our culture, the culture around heartbreak and breakups or divorces is also what something I find not very supportive. Like it's all like, let's get drunk, let's forget about it, let's sleep with this next person so that you don't have to deal with it anymore. And just like, bam, move through it. If you're not over it within 48 hours, something's wrong and people are already pushing you to move on. It's just one of those really hidden wounds of the heart that people can't see, but everybody experiences, but everybody also doesn't want to look at it.
Totally. Yeah, it's like one of those things that isn't really, it's kind of like swept under the rug a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think so much of the time, there's also this aspect of like shame that's connected with heartbreak too, right? And so maybe that
Yeah.
contributes to a little bit of that culture of like, okay, let's move on. Like, you're fine. Let's just keep
Yeah.
going. Do you
Definitely, I
think?
definitely think there's a shame around heartbreak because it's like from both ends of the spectrum of people, like people in general, but also for women, it's oh, get over this guy, like don't think about him. He wasn't even worth it. Be a strong, independent woman, like all that kind of stuff. And then for men, it's all a lot of the interfacing of don't share your emotions. You're not allowed to cry. You're not allowed to be upset about this. And so I just feel like there's so much shame interwoven into something that everybody experiences, and it's really unfortunate. And I think that's kind of like the first part is like, don't shame yourself for what you're feeling in terms of heartbreak. Don't self-shame, but also put up boundaries with other people of like, you don't get to shame me. I get to be sad. Like, I get to be sad here. It's all good.
Yeah, that's so true. I love those reflections that you had on the different nuances on what can come up, especially in a breakup, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting because sometimes it's this is such like a transitionary period, right? And it's so we're so fragile within that. And sometimes I can imagine like the way we experience our emotions during a breakup can really affect like the timeline and the healing and how we experience like the aftermath of that, right?
Definitely. It's a complete transition. And what I find with most people too is that it's not even just about the one person. It's about how the lifestyle shifts due to that person no longer being in the relationship, in a romantic way, in a partnership way, in an intimacy way. I think what is known when you're in it, but isn't talked about as much is when you're going through a divorce or a breakup, it's not just two people choosing not to be in a relationship anymore. It's untangling lives. It's untangling sometimes family units, sometimes family connections, sometimes it's friend groups and community connection. Like it's not just about the other person most of the time that's involved in the heartbreak. It's also all of the web that gets involved in the heartbreak as well. It's like sometimes you're not just losing a person, but it can feel like you're losing a community or a certain aspect of your life that you've engaged with. So that's the other piece about heartbreak that I just don't think we talk about it. I think like we know it exists, but it's like we don't talk about breakups between friends, but it's also sometimes breakups between communities and people.
Yeah. And I think that's such a hard thing because it's like all of your, like all of what you imagined your future to be, like all of those things, you're kind of letting go of that. And you're right. It's not just breaking up with the person, but it's like everything that is related to that, all of the family, all of the community, all of like even some activities, I assume, right? And an idea and like, ooh, my future, and we're going to go here and we're going to do that. And then all of a sudden, from like, you know, one moment to the next, even maybe it's like, whoa, that's gone.
It's like,
what do I do?
Yeah, it's interfacing with all the layers to it. And don't get me wrong, like there are definitely ways, like if you had friend circles and friend groups and community, like there are definitely ways to keep relationships. But I do think it takes a certain amount of mindset and emotional intelligence of being able to compartmentalize in that way and being able to navigate. And that's where it, depending on what the breakup or what the divorce looked like, doing something called conscious uncoupling can be very supportive, is when both people come to the conversation of, okay, what does this separation look like? And how can we make agreements with each other so that we both get to navigate within the community we really enjoy and feel good and feel supported. So there is a way to do it consciously. And to, I also think, like, as much as it's something that happens, the break of communities and friend groups, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, like, I also think that's part of a myth in terms of breakups, but there's a way to interface with all of it in a way that feels good, but it does take a certain amount of being willing to be uncomfortable, you know, and say like, okay, yeah, let's have a conversation about what this looks like now going forward. But it is also that, that mourning of the potential future, the idea of what it could have been, the grieving of that timeline now being transitioned into something new that you might not have pictured for yourself. And it does take a period of grieving and mourning to get to that place.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's always going to be like a little process of like, okay, we are going to need this time to grieve and heal, but there's also this potential of like, hey, if we have communities that are so tight knit and there are some connections there, how can we make this work? I feel like for me, I have a situation like that. Me and my ex-girlfriend, oh my God, we were so, so, so close with her family and like, oh, I love her so much, but our relationship didn't work out. And when we broke up, it was like, how are we going to do this? Like we all love each other. We kind of all didn't want to separate. Like it was a big thing and we worked through it. And now like, we're all still so close. Like me and my husband go hang out with them every weekend. We're all just like, oh, it's so amazing. My ex-girlfriend has a wonderful, wonderful partner and they're just so epic. And like, we're just literally one big, happy family.
Yeah.
And when my husband like came into my life, I was like, okay, here's the 411. Like, this is my family. This is how it is. And we're all so, so close. And they just love him so much and he just fit in so perfectly. And it just, it can be really, really, really incredible.
Yes.
I think it takes a really special situation and person to like have that flow really well. And I think you really have to gauge, like, is this coming from a place of like integrity and like we really want to keep this family together and bonded, and or is this coming from a place of like, oh, I don't want to let go, right? There's always like kind of that discernment of like where, like what's the intention here? What do we actually all desire out of this? And this was like a whole ass like family conversation. Like this breakup was not like just me and her. It was like a family thing.
But I also love the example of how it works, you know, like you are literally the walking example of it working out. And I think that it's exactly what you said. It's what do we want out of this? What is the intention here? Does this feel safe? Does it feel safe mentally, physically, emotionally to continue to have ties with this person through these other people or with this person directly? Like, and it also does matter, honestly, the color of the relationship. How long have you been with this person? How deep did you guys go in your relationship together? Because I've also, you know, I've had examples of being able to be friends with exes through, you know, we didn't date for very long. We dated for like a month. We realized that wasn't the tone of our relationship and the relationship just transitioned into something else. But then of course we do have the bigger examples of, I had a breakup with, an ex of mine, and my friendships really developed with his friends when I got introduced to his friendship circle. And throughout the course of that breakup, it was a messy breakup, you know, it wasn't great, but also we're friends now, you know, a couple years later, we're friends. I'm still friends with his friends. He's still friends with his friends. It wasn't a huge divergence. So I also think that is good to keep in mind for people who are going through it. It's like, there is totally another side to it. Mm-hmm. And also sometimes it may take a couple years. Sometimes it's a big conversation. Sometimes it's not even a hard transition at all. Yeah. It's just really what is your intention? What has the relationship looked like? And do you feel like you can go through the transmission or through the transition rather, while still looking after yourself and still the other person still looking after themselves as well?
Yeah, that's so powerful. I love that. I'm curious, how do you move through heartbreak? Because like, let's get into the specifics of like, I am deep in it. Oh, just so much agony and pain. How do we move through such a huge fucking event? Because like, it feels massive when it happens.
Absolutely.
It's such a like physical like experience, right? It's so visceral in the body. So how do you move through it?
Yeah. So what I'll say here is this is the universal thing is you have to feel your feelings. You have to allow the feelings to move through you because otherwise they're going to get stored in your body and it's going to be like suffocated down into you. And so by feel your feelings, I mean, cry when you feel like you want to cry. Allow yourself to get angry in a way that's safe for you, for other people. Allow yourself to express your emotions. Maybe that's through talking with someone you trust, a coach, a therapist, a really good friend, family member who you feel confidence in to keep, you know, things to themselves, essentially. Process it, journal about it, burn things, you know, just allow yourself to go through the emotional experience. Because if we are emotional, it doesn't really matter how much logic or wisdom we have, because the emotions are going to override the thinking brain. Yeah. So allow yourself to feel, allow yourself to go through that mourning period, because it is a mourning. It's a death of a relationship or potential, you know, a potential of what that relationship could have been. And so that would be my very first invitation for people. Depending on how intertwined your relationship was, I would say hone out the details of what the separation actually means. So for example, some people aren't living together, don't have any children, friend circles are pretty separate, don't really have to worry about it. But some people have been married for 15 years and this is a divorce and there's kids involved. And so I would say try and go through the logistics as smoothly as possible. Maybe that's getting a mediator. And that's okay. Don't shame yourself for needing someone else to hold space for the two parties who are going through the separation. Maybe it looks like just having a conversation of, okay, you're going to take the house. I'm going to get an apartment. This is the dynamics that work for us. Yeah. So get the logistics through because if you're consistently dotting I's and crossing T's for long periods of time, that's a dragging of the emotional experience as well. And so just as not as quickly, but as smoothly and quickly as you can get the logistics done. Then after that, I think people, the invitation would be to come back to self and to remind yourself, like if you're feeling lost in other areas of your life as well. So for example, sometimes being in a relationship with someone that took up a lot of your time during your week, and now you have all of this other time that you don't know what to do with. Right. So the invitation to check in with yourself, like what fulfills you? What do you want more of in your life? What do you desire? How can you channel this new time, energy, maybe financial resources into these things so you feel that sense of fulfillment? But then also reminding yourself, like if you feel certain needs are no longer met due to the dissolving of this partnership, where can you feel those needs in other ways? So if you want connection, can you go out with a few girlfriends and go to, you know, like a movie or a spa or a pub or something, you know, to regain that connection? Maybe you really crave physical touch. Okay, do you have someone who can just hold you for half an hour? Do you have family? Do you have a cat, you know, to get that physical nourishment as well? So recognize, where are your needs? Where is there a calling here for you to kind of come back to self, to deepen, to fulfill in new ways. I also love inviting people into starting a new hobby during this time, because it's like a new hobby where you can see growth and you can see growth over time can be really helpful for the mental timeline of things. I feel since this breakup, I haven't done anything with my life. I feel alone. I feel like my life is going downhill. When you have something you can see progress in, it's just really nice for the brain. It's just super nice for the brain to be like, nope, we're moving forward in something. We're growing in something. It's good. Like, we've got this. So those are the broad strokes of what I would say in a breakup or a divorce or separation of some kind. But I think the other thing to recognize about breakups and separations in relationships is in a lot of ways, it's an ego death too. It's the separation of who you thought you were in relation to somebody else. It's the separation of future timelines that are no longer going to come to be. It's often breaking up with the idea of someone or something or the relationship, sometimes even more than the person themselves. Because when breakups are over, we notice the peaks and we notice the valleys. And there's a lot of day-to-day that we don't notice. So we notice, oh, the greatest moments, you know, where he brought you roses on the pier and he dazzled you. And then you also remember the screaming fight with slamming doors, but it's hard to miss the day-to-day. So just kind of reminding yourself that as you reflect on the relationship, you're going to also reflect on a lot of peaks and valleys and remember the day-to-day. Remember what happened on the day-to-day experience and why you decided to separate in the first place.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. Because that can be such a like going back and forth. Like, was this the right choice?
Right choice.
Should we try again? Like, right. There's always such a back and forth, especially in that like tender time where you are reflecting on those good times, or you are reflecting on those moments where like, oh, maybe they can change, or like, maybe this is my fault, or right. There's, it's such a like little, it's such a like fragile period in that time. And So easy to just want to fill that like emptiness maybe, or just like fill that place that was once a person, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's exactly the right way to say it, like filling that space. Mm. And I think that in the conversation of peaks and valleys, like, did I do the right thing? Did I make the right choice? Will I find somebody else? Am I going to die alone? Like all of these questions, like just reminding you that there's 8 billion people on the planet. There's definitely someone else there for you, you know, and
plenty maybe of fish in the sea.
Plenty of fish in the sea. And I think giving yourself time to mourn and then look at the relationship. Yes. I think that people go straight to looking at the relationship of like, what worked? What's wrong with me? Like, I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. They didn't change. Like, they could have changed. They could have done this. They could have done that. Like, give yourself the time to process and grieve and mourn and get angry and sad in a healthy way. But then think about the relationship, because there's a lot to learn from previous relationships and moving forward into future relationships. But if you jump to that place, I don't think we ever release the previous relationship. I think the reason why we hang on to exes and the reason why we hang on to past relationships with such emotional oomph, it's because we haven't fully gone through the grieving experience and we haven't actually let it go, because there's something we're attached to there. So grieve first, mourn first, process first, and then look at the relationship and what worked and what didn't work.
Yeah, I love that. That's so powerful. Even just the reflection of like, why do we hold on to things for so long, right? And why does it feel like we're not moving through it? It's a really good way of looking at it, because yes, we absolutely have to feel our feelings and we absolutely get the permission to go as crazy as we want in terms of like processing our emotions in a way that's healthy. And we really just like get to feel our feels, because it's going to be so beneficial for us down the road. And I think it also comes in waves, right? It's like, okay, we're good. And we feel the intensity of it again. And I think like at some point there's almost like this like socially accepted period where it's like, oh, but I shouldn't be feeling this way because it's been like a couple of weeks or it's been whatever timeline, right? And having that permission to just feel it and move through it can really allow you to process your emotions and just move on with it so much quicker than if you're like, yeah, I shouldn't be feeling like this. I should just try and ignore it and like holding it in, right? Because we don't know what happens when we hold
it. Yeah. Like something that I like to say to my clients, to my peers, to my friends a lot is don't should on yourself, you know, like don't say you should be somewhere, you should be something different, or you should be over it by now, because because it does come in waves. It is a cycle. It's over time. It sometimes is unraveled. You know, we might go through a period of processing a morning and feel in a good place. And then, in a year, something happens that, you know, triggers us, reminds us of an experience we had with a previous partner. And that's okay. Don't make it wrong. Just grieve again. You know, just process again. And because often what happens is we make ourselves wrong and then we still have to grieve and feel the feelings. And it's just like double whammy. Just let yourself feel it. Don't make it wrong because that's human. You know, there's so much, like we only know so much about a brain. There's so much stored in the subconscious of our brain that, you might have consciously processed it, but the little girl inside of you still feels hurt. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Can we make that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I love that. Is there a difference between moving on from a toxic relationship and heartbreak in like that healing process? Because obviously there's a difference, but like, what would you suggest we do when we're moving on from kind of a toxic relationship?
Oh, yeah. So when we're looking at toxic relationships, those are relationships where maybe it was narcissism, maybe gaslighting, maybe physical abuse, maybe emotional, mental abuse. So what I say in those experiences is there might be some similarities in terms of moving past like relationships in both camps, in terms of still got to figure out the logistics of where you're going to live and all that kind of stuff. But I would say what tends to get people, so to speak, in the toxic relationships is the questioning, the self-doubt, because there's oftentimes there's a lot of mind games that go into the toxic relationships. And I also think there's a difference between toxic relationships and toxic for you relationships, which is like, okay, you and this person just are, maybe you're twin flames. Maybe you're just not the people who's actually meant to be together, but you're just supposed to learn something real quick and then get out. Like sometimes that happens. So sometimes it might not have been a toxic relationship, but it was just toxic for you. And there's some other things to interface. And then there are relationships where there was gaslighting and there was questioning of is that what I remember true? Like, and being validated in that. And it's like, yes, what you remember is what happened. And I believe you and I trust you and I honor your experience. And no, this wasn't okay. And so I think for the people who have been through toxic relationships, it's really moving past the mental games in the relationships and believing yourself and trusting yourself that what you experienced was true and that there is nothing wrong with you. Because what I tend to see as well as people who have been through rather toxic relationships is there's a lot of questioning of self-worth, questioning of self-love, self-trust, questioning of worthiness. That tends to be the big thing is like, am I worthy of a good partner? Am I worthy of being treated with respect? Am I worthy of love? Wow. And so I will say that I find that in both journeys, there's an opportunity for self-love, self-trust, self-worth. But I think for people who've been through toxic relationships, even more so, because often what happens in toxic relationships is the ripping down of the person to just such a deep level. And so there's rebuilding it back up again over time.
Yeah. And that's so true. It's like almost like this is an opportunity for you to actually find that support and those support systems that are going to give you like that boost, right? To rebuild that, because it can be really difficult coming out of a situation like that, where it's almost like there's just been active like unraveling of all the things that you thought about yourself. And it could still happen throughout the breakup, right? Like just because you leave like physically a situation doesn't mean you're not like getting bombarded with texts or like, right? Like all of these things can happen while you're trying to heal and move on from this. So I love the idea of really building those blocks of trusting yourself and believing yourself and having that validated, and also finding the support around you that's like, okay, these are the people that are going to be really healthy for me right now, and this is the type of support that I can get. And yeah, I feel like there's not that many resources out there on how to actually, like, there's resources on how to like get away and like those kinds of logistics, but like, how do we actually feel good and safe in our bodies after something like that?
Yeah, because it's also sometimes the experience for people, if that's sincerely all they've known, is they grew up watching their parents treat each other a certain way. And so that's what they consider the norm. And then that's what they interface with. And the cycle isn't broken. And so I also think that there aren't enough resources on rebuilding. There are resources on, you know, safe houses and call and everything like that. But then there's the third step, you know, of like, how do I rebuild myself? How do I love myself again? How do I honor myself again? Cherish myself again? Treat myself like the divinity that I am again?
Yes, because, absolutely. You know,
when you're in those situations, there's so much ripping down of that that happens.
Yeah. And you're just expected to just kind of figure it out.
Yeah, you are. Absolutely. Yeah. Like that's the culture, you know, is like, just don't talk about it. You're supposed to figure it out. You're supposed to just all of a sudden flip a switch and be confident. Mm-hmm. And then you're shamed for getting support, when really support is the best thing you could possibly do in terms of moving forward. You know, it's like, find a coach, find a therapist, find a close group of friends who you trust, like whatever support looks like for you, go and find that, because that is the best possible thing that you can do, I think, in this situation.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good point that you're making, because I see this all the time. It's like, people come to coaching or come to therapy like when they're just like at the end, and like when everything's falling apart, or when they feel like they're at their rock bottom. And like, we really have to shift the light into like, this can actually be so preventative. Like if you actually start when you're feeling like, ooh, something's coming up, I'm feeling like things are starting to slowly dissolve and I need some support. Like, it's like going to the dental hygienist. Like, you go get your checkups, right? But like, it's actually better to like go get those cleanings done rather than like wait it out a few years and then you have a fatty bill at the dentist.
Yes. Yeah. And that, like, from a cultural, like, whenever I'm talking about culture and society, I start going off a little bit, because from a cultural perspective, we aren't sold, quote unquote, on preventative care in all aspects of our life. Even though it's like the cheapest bill you're ever going to get is preventative care.
Like, ain't nobody going to make money from that, right?
Exactly. So, right. So therefore it's like,
capitalize.
Let's wait until you're, you know, so completely heartbroken, you feel frustrated, sad, it's bleeding into all areas of your life, your health degrading, you're doing poor at work, like all that kind of stuff. And it's like, whereas preventative care, it's like, that's the best thing you can invest in. Like, and I'm not even just saying that about relationships, like literally anything.
Like anything.
For anyone watching, like, please invest in preventative care, because it's so much cheaper, not only in terms of money, but also in terms of time, happiness, and fulfillment and quality of life. Like, preventative care is where it's at.
Absolutely. I think that's such a huge thing that we really need to just like get and blast out there so much.
Yes.
Because like, it does make your life so much easier. And when you're kind of slowly building that awareness of like, hey, what do I need right now? Right. It actually is an invitation for you to do those like check-ins, right? Even just with yourself. I think sometimes like we're so busy in our days and there's so much going on that we don't even do that preventative care, like on a micro level, right?
Yeah.
Have you checked in with your body today? Like, what do you need?
Are you taking a deep breath today? When's the last time you ate today?
Right? I mean, I have to say, like, when it comes to drinking water, I really need to like do the whole preventative thing. Cause like, it's like 8 a.m., 8 p.m. at night. And then I'm like chugging 10 glasses of water.
And then of course you gotta get up at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah. Like, why am I sleeping so bad? But like, we have to really shift things over, because it can be so helpful on like a micro level and a macro level in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This was such a good conversation. So before we close our podcast, I am curious, like, if I am a person listening and I'm going through some heartbreak and just like a huge transition in my life, what are some of your like tips or like, what's your biggest advice for the person listening out there? What can they do to support themselves? What are like some helpful things to remember? Yeah. Anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing I would say is feel your feelings and give yourself the space to mourn, find your support system. Remember that you are so deeply worthy. And I know people hear that all the time, but I so deeply mean it. Like, you're so worthy and you will find love again. You know, you absolutely will, even if it doesn't feel like it right now, even if it feels messy right now. And I would say, be very mindful of the story you tell yourself in this moment. So what are you telling yourself about yourself? What are you telling yourself about love? What are you telling yourself about the world? And just really clock the stories that you're telling yourself, because your stories become your reality, your thoughts, your feelings, you know, over time that becomes your behaviors and your habits and your patterns. So just be so mindful right now, give yourself so much grace and love and compassion. But just watch your thoughts, and feel your feelings.
Ooh, yeah. I love that. That's such incredible advice. And wow. Thank you so, so much.
Thanks for having me. This was fabulous. Thank you so much.
I loved it so much. So before we go, where can we freaking find you? We're in a fucking crisis breakup. Like, where are you at? Where's the heartbreak person?
It's me. I'm mostly over on Instagram. I love Instagram. So you can find me at lucy.m.michaela.price. And also feel free to join my Facebook group, The Heartful Collective. Amazing, incredible people in there ready to support and love up on you if you're going through a hard time.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Lucy. It was so, so good having you on the podcast. Anyone listening, if you're going through a little heartbreak situation, hit Lucy up, because we know she's got the tips.